So we've been continuing our study on Ephesians. Now, as Paul and Daryl have both said before me, you know, there's no way that we can cover the whole of Ephesians in six parts. So we've been picking out some bits to look at the wealth of the Christian, what we possess, our identity in Christ. Paul started looking on at the warfare of the Christian on the Wednesday night, and we'll continue that this Wednesday. I really encourage you to come. He's going to be talking about the armor of God. And Daryl started last week with the walk of the Christian and talked about inner strength from Ephesians 3. So I'm talking about growing up. So chapter 4, and I'm going to be around chapter 4 mostly today. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 16 in my Bible is entitled Unity and Maturity in the Body of Christ. So we're just going to read this. I will read this out. I know it's quite small up there at the moment, so I'm just going to read this out from Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So God's plan for us is that we will grow up. Now, you and I know that maturity does not always equate with age. Yes? So we can be older, but not always mature. Age doesn't always translate to maturity. But God's plan for us is that we will grow and grow up. So when we're born again, when we come to Jesus, we're born again. We're a baby, aren't we? A baby in the faith. We're starting off this journey. But just as we would not expect a baby to stay a baby, the expectation is that we'll grow, that we won't stay a baby, that we'll grow in and develop in our maturity, in our knowledge and understanding and our faith and our behavior. We should be constantly growing and maturing in our faith until we become, well, it says they're attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, till we become full of him and like him. So what does it mean to be mature? Now, there's a lot, obviously, in Ephesians, and I think it's great that we're going to be taking this and studying it in our groups, because there's so much to get your teeth into, isn't there? We can't possibly cover it all, but hopefully we'll give you some things to be thinking and praying into and that God can be working on in our lives. I just want to focus on two things this morning, if we get through them. We might just go through one. We'll see how the time goes. Stability and unity. So first of all, stability. In order to grow into maturity, we need good foundations. If our foundations aren't right, we won't grow in the right way and we won't be able to withstand the storms. So I'm not a builder, but I know that a building needs good foundations, yeah? I'm not really a gardener, but I know that a tree needs good roots. I think we can agree that if there's a problem at a foundational level, there's going to be a problem with the structure, yeah? Now, you and I know that life is difficult at times, yeah? There are challenges. There are times when we face something and it knocks us off our feet. But I believe that Scripture shows us that there's a stability that we can know even when we are in the storms of life. That there is a victory we can know whether we're up the mountain or in the valley. Verse 14 says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. That word tossed there actually means agitated mentally. Anybody ever feel agitated mentally? Yeah? So we get that sense of agitation, being unsettled, being down, being all over the place, not quite knowing where we are. So we're all vulnerable to being tossed about. Stability is about being in a place where we're not tossed about, where although there's a storm raging around us, we're not tossed about. There's a stability there. It's about being settled in our minds about what we believe, whatever our circumstances, or whatever the view or opinion of the people around us. Now, how do you know if someone's lying to you? Well, you know if you hear a lie, you know that it's a lie, if you know the truth. Yeah? So if somebody said to me, Steve is married to somebody called Angela, I can say, that's a lie, because I happen to know he's married to Amanda. You haven't got any other wife hidden away, Steve, have you? No. So if you know the truth, you know when you hear a lie, yes? So we know if someone's trying to deceive us, if we know the truth. It doesn't match up. Now, we have an enemy who is a liar. Satan is a liar. Jesus called him the father of lies. Now, we may not experience necessarily the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. That might not be our experience, but we do have an enemy who is cunning and crafty in his deceitful scheming. We have an enemy who wants to lie to us and does lie to us, and he might use the people around us to do that. So we might be in circumstances, we might have grown up in circumstances, we might have experienced situations where people have said stuff to us, and you know what? It's not true. But we may have believed it. We may have believed that we're not good enough, or we'll never match up to anything, or we're going to be a failure for the rest of our lives, or we're not worth loving, or we're not lovable. And sometimes it's not even what people actually say, it's the way they treat us, isn't it? But this is why it is vitally important to know what God says about us. And when Daryl spoke about identity right at the beginning when we started this series, it is absolutely vital that we are totally, completely planted on the stability, the foundation of who we are in Christ. Now, children generally believe what you tell them, don't they? They believe pretty much anything at a young age. They're like sponges. They just absorb something. And when they get to that stage when they go, why? Why? You need to wear your coat. Why? Because it's raining. Why? Because it's raining. Why? Because it is. Yeah? Anybody been at that point? Yeah? Just because it is, or just because I say so, you know? But they just absorb stuff. And actually, it's only then when they get older that they begin to perhaps question things. And I do believe, you know, as Christian parents, this is a little bit of an aside, but it's really important that we encourage our kids to ask questions. Because yes, we're sowing into them, but they need to be able to understand why. Why do we believe that? Why is that true? Now, okay, we don't have all the answers, but we mustn't be afraid of our kids saying, but why is that true? But what about this? But I don't understand that. If we don't give them the opportunity to ask those questions when they're young and growing up, they get out into the big wide world, they will struggle. Because they won't have had that foundation of truth, that they've been able to question things. So we mustn't feel threatened by that as Christian parents. But just as growing children, as Christians, it's also good for us to ask questions. It's also good to discuss, to get to grips with things, to really kind of dig into stuff, to dig into the scriptures. And that's why our small groups are so important, because it really gives us the opportunity to say, why? You're telling me that, but I don't get it. Can we talk about that? I can't quite translate what that means in my life. That's why we need those opportunities to talk, because it helps us to grow. It helps us to form those firm foundations of our understanding of God's word, of the truth. So maturity is about knowing the truth, and it gives us a secure foundation that enables us to be stable. It's about increasing our understanding of the truth, growing in our knowledge, not staying with the basics, but going deeper. Hebrews 5 talks about spiritual growth, and it compares, you know, a baby that can only drink milk with an adult who has meat, who has solid food. And the idea is that we don't stay with the milk, we progress. We need to have an increasing amount of understanding and stuff we can really get our teeth into. We need to be able to progress from the basic teachings of the gospel to more meaty stuff. And the word of God is the truth, isn't it, that we are building on. And if you want to know where to start, Ephesians is a great place to get your teeth into, as we've been discovering. Understanding who we are in Christ, our identity, all that we possess in him. Stability comes, as I said, when we're really secure in our identity, in our position in Christ, and in the promises of God that for us. And we do need an increasing revelation of that truth. So Ephesians, this isn't working, Beth. So, oh, I don't know if that was me. Was that me or you? That was you. Thank you. I won't bother trying then. Ephesians 1 verse 18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope that which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. We need the eyes of our hearts enlightened, don't we? We've talked about this before. We need that revelation of the Spirit to enable us to know what can only be known by revelation, so that we know the truth and we know the truth, yeah? So Luke 6, verse 46 to 49, actually takes us a step further, because actually knowing the truth is not enough. So Jesus tells a story, the very familiar story of the wise and foolish builders. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Now, we've seen in the news recently, haven't we, about the devastation that floods can bring. And Jesus is explaining here how we can remain stable when the storms come. So he says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice. There's a progression here. We come to him. So we come to him. We give our lives to him. We surrender to him. We hear what he's saying. So we're listening to people talking to us. We're coming to church. We're listening to his word. We're reading it for ourselves. But then there's a putting into practice. There's got to be an application. Just hearing it, just knowing what it says isn't enough. There's got to be an application of it. Maturity is about applying what we know, is about not just hearing his word, not even just reading it, but obeying it, doing what it says. And the good thing is, it says it's like someone who dug down deep. That's what we're doing in our lives when we're giving ourselves to understanding the word of God, knowing it, applying it. We're digging down deep. We're creating really secure foundations. Last week, Daryl spoke from chapter 3 about the prayer, Paul's prayer, that the Ephesians would be rooted and grounded in love. And the word for rooted there means to fix, to establish, to cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. And the word for grounded means to lay the foundation, to make stable, to establish. So not only are our foundations on the unchanging word of God, but on the unchanging love of God. We need to be stable because we're secure in our understanding of the love of God. Now, I know what it's like to be completely unstable in this area. So for many years, I grew up believing a lie. I believed that I was unlovable. It's to do with stuff that had happened in my past. And I didn't really believe that God loved me. So I knew it, and I believed that he loved you, and he loves you, and he loves you. And I kind of thought, well, he loves me because he has to, because he kind of says in the Bible that he loves me, but he doesn't really love me. He didn't choose to love me. And because of that, I was unstable. I was insecure. I was insecure in my relationship with God, but I was insecure in my relationships with other people as well. I was certainly not rooted and grounded in love. The enemy had lied to me, and I believed it. I'd believed a lie. And that was not something that was a conscious thing. It was just something that happened. And I believe that can happen to all of us. And sometimes we don't even recognize the lie until we're really faced with the truth. And we have that revelation. But I knew that I was not in the place I should be. And it was only when I came to Jesus and he was able to set me free from that stronghold in my life that I was able to be really grounded on the truth. Now, I know, because I have conversations with people, that other people struggle with that too. That, you know, when we hear about who we are in Christ, you can kind of say, yeah, I know that's true. It's true for them. Not really true for me. But unless we have that secure foundation, we will be tossed about. When the storms come, we'll struggle because we don't have our feet planted securely on the truth. We'll believe that there's that voice in our head that says, God's not going to answer your prayers because he doesn't really care about you. God's not going to do that for you because he doesn't really love you. He'll do it for them, but he won't do it for you. Anybody ever thought that? And when things go wrong, well, it's because God doesn't really love me. It's kind of what I expect, really. I know how liberating it is to be set free from that. And I know that God can do that for you because he's done it for me. I had a picture earlier in the worship, and we were doing some gardening, and it was a couple of years ago, and we dug out, and we were going to do a new area, a new bed, and we were going away, and we needed to get some plants planted before we went away so that they could be settled while we were away. Only the weekend that we'd allocated to do it, it poured down with rain the whole weekend, but we had to get it done. Now, our garden is clay. I'm sure there's other people around here who've got clay garden. So Martin and I are digging, and I had my wellies on, and basically what happens is, as people will know, you pick up your wellie and you pick 6 inches of clay up with it. So walking was incredibly difficult. And, you know, there's a verse in Psalm 40, verse 2, that says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit. Something's ringing. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, some versions say clay. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Now, when we come to Jesus, we give our lives to him. He takes us out of the mud and the mire, and he sets our feet on the rock, Jesus, the truth. But what God showed me is that sometimes we still have mud stuck to our boots. The old us, the old patterns of thinking, the old ways, the old lies that we've believed can be stuck to us. So when we're stood on the rock, we're still a bit wobbly. The foundation is secure, but we've still got some of the old stuff hanging around. And that was my experience. God had to get rid of the old stuff. You know, and I believe that that's what he wants to do. And it may be that he wants to do that for you today, that that's something that you need to get some prayer for or to talk to someone about. You know, God wants us to be stable, to be secure. We can't grow unless we have that security, that stability, the right foundation. We need to know the truth, but we need to know the one who is the truth, who is Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 17 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Ultimately, it's about knowing Jesus, because that's what the Bible's there for, to teach us who God is, who Jesus is, what he's like, why he came. We need to know him. The more that we know him and we know his character, we know what we can expect of him. We know that we can trust him. We know that he is faithful and we can put our hope in him. So growth is about having good foundations in order to be stable. So our stability is based on the truth. Our stability is based on who Jesus is and our identity in him. Secondly, I want to talk about unity. So, there are a number of analogies that are used in the Bible to describe the church. And in these verses that we've looked at, Paul talks about the church being the body of Christ. And earlier on in Ephesians 2, he talks about it being a temple. So if we just have a look at that, Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 22. This is from the Message Bible. You are no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in, brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. That's what we want, isn't it? That God feels at home when he's with us. So when we come to Jesus and we give our lives to him, we are born again, as I said, into a family, and we become a part of something that's much bigger than just us. We become part of the body of Christ, part of the building, the temple that he is building. Now, there's a universal body, which is like every Christian everywhere across the world, but then there's the local body, which is the gathering of believers in a place like us here. So God designed us to be a part of something. His plan is that we will grow into maturity together. So church is the place, the environment, the people for growth into maturity. See, a seed won't grow if it's not planted in the right environment. A baby will not grow and develop without the right relational as well as physical environment. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't grow at all on our own, but because our growing isn't just about our time together. Obviously, it's also about our personal times with God. But God's plan and purpose is that we grow together because we're being built into something together. And the church is the environment where we can be equipped. So going back to chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, this is in the New Living Translation. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of God. So our leaders are God's gift to us to help us grow. Amen. Not many amens. But this passage is clear that actually their role is to equip us so we can help one another. So that we can all build each other up. We all have a role to play. So you have a role to play in my growth. We all have a role to play in each other's growth, helping each other to stand firm in those storms of life, encouraging each other to stand on the truth of God's word, helping each other make the right decisions in life in following God. So we were created for fellowship with God and for fellowship with one another. Daryl did a whole list of one another's, didn't he, some time ago. Jesus did not save us in isolation. He saved us to be a part of something, his body, and to be built into something, a temple where he can dwell. So our relationships with each other are vital in our maturity. So not only does a building need good foundations, but it needs good connections between the bricks. If there aren't good connections, if there's gaps and bits, it's not going to be very secure. So we need good connections with one another. So we are individuals, unique bricks in the temple that God is building. He didn't make us all the same. You glad about that? But he has chosen us to fit together. Now, I've quoted this before, but I do like it. So Milton Jones said, "When it works, church is like Lego. Accommodating each other's knobbly bits makes us all stick together." And we've all got those knobbly bits, haven't we? And I think it's great. You know, God has designed us to fit together. Now, I spoke about unity before, and I spoke about being united in purpose and united on purpose. We're united because we have the same purpose. That's what unites us. We have the same Father, the same Lord. But we are also united with the same purpose. We need to be united on purpose. We need to make an effort. Unity doesn't just happen. Ephesians 4 verse 3 says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." We have the same Spirit living within us. Chapter 4, verses 4 to 6 in the Message says, "You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one Master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness." Now, it sounds obvious, but we can't actually travel together if we're not moving in the same direction. Okay? If I want to go this way and I'm traveling with Amanda and she's going that way, actually, we're not going to get very far. So being united is about moving together. Now, there is a dynamic about our unity which is a mystery. You know, the church is not the same as any other club or society. And in chapter 5, Paul talks about marriage, and he actually likens it to Christ's relationship with the church. So where Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the bride. And he calls it a profound mystery. Now, in what he says, in the same way, you see, that a man and woman are united in marriage, Jesus has chosen to unite himself with us. Now, when a man and woman come together for marriage, they give up their independence in order to be dependent on one another, to be in a partnership together. They give themselves to one another. Now, when we come to Jesus, we give ourselves to him, to become dependent on him. But the amazing thing is that he has given himself to us. He has chosen to be dependent on us for the outworking of his purposes on the earth. We are his body, his hands, his feet, his voice. Now, the marriage vows that we use traditionally use this statement: "All that I am, I give to you. All that I have, I share with you." When we come to Jesus, the bride, the church, Jesus says to us, "All that I am, I give to you. All that I have, I share with you." Isn't that amazing? That as the church of God, as the bride, everything that he has, he's chosen to share with us. When we enter into this partnership, we have access to everything that he owns. That's amazing. Now, when you get married, when Martin and I got married, he didn't actually have any money. In fact, he didn't have a job. He did have originally, but yeah, he was made redundant. He had no job. So everything he had fitted in the back of his car. And so he married into money for what it was worth. So I wasn't getting a lot when I married Martin, except for him, which is obviously why I married him. But you see, when we come to Jesus, I couldn't have asked for anything more. I haven't regretted it for a minute, darling, it's all right. But when we come to Jesus, I have to say, I think we do the best out of this deal. You know, he gets all that we are, for what it's worth, but we get all that he is. That is the partnership. Our salvation is personal, but our purpose is corporate. We are together the body. We are together the building. We are together the bride. So the plan is that together we grow. Now, I haven't got time to go into some of the other scriptures about how we relate to one another, and I'm hopefully in the groups we'll have time to look at that a bit more. There's a lot in chapter 4 about how we treat one another. But you know what? We need to be aware that we have an enemy, as I said, who is a liar. And if he can pull us apart, just like a marriage, if he can pull us apart, then he can prevent us from fulfilling all that God has for us. Now, I'm excited, and I hope you are, about all that God has for us in this place. As a body together, what God has done and what he's going to do. But you know what? We need to be careful, because it's very easy for things to happen, isn't it? It's very easy for us to take offense, or, you know, we upset each other. I don't know about you, but I say things and it comes out of my mouth and then I think, what did I say that for? You know, and I've hurt someone, I've said something, I've had a wrong attitude. You know, we need to be able to forgive each other. We need to be able to help each other. But, you know, I believe that God has great things for us as a body of people. But moving into maturity is about being stable and about being united. That we can grow together. Wherever we are in our Christian walk, it's like a family. You know, you have little ones and you have older ones. And in the natural, we have all age ranges. But in the spiritual, we do too. We have people just coming to God, and we have people who've been on the road for a very long time. And so together, just as in any family, we support one another. Chapter 5, verse 2 of Ephesians in the Passion Translation says, "And continue to walk, surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ, for he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us." The love of Christ, the love of God, is the foundation for our own relationships. That is the love that Daryl was talking about last week, when we talk about knowing the height and the width and the depth and the length of the love of God. We can't love one another without that love, can we? We can't stick together without that love. Now, over the next couple of weeks, Daryl's going to be sharing his vision for the church moving forward. You know, moving into a vision requires unity. It requires that we work together. It requires that we perhaps surrender what we want in order that together we can grow and move forward. So change can always be challenging, but stability comes when we know where we're rooted. Yeah, what we know, where we're founded, where we know what we're doing it for, who we're doing it for. So let's move forward, shall we? Let's grow together into maturity, continually growing. I know I'm not suggesting that we haven't, but just continually growing into maturity through our stability on the word of God, the truth of God, the truth of his love for us, and our unity together, the things that connect us and keep us strong. And we pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the cornerstone of this building, that, Lord, you are our foundation, that you are the rock beneath our feet. You are our rock and our fortress, and in you we shall not be shaken. Lord, I thank you that your word tells us that we can be stable and fixed and rooted and grounded in you and in your love for us. Lord, I just pray for anybody this morning that knows that they've still got some clay stuck to their feet. Lord, that knows that, God, there are things that perhaps make them unstable, issues in their lives that are affecting their ability to move forward in you, to grow into maturity. Lord, I pray that you would come and that you would scrape away the mud, that you'll bring the revelation of your truth to break down every stronghold, every lie of the enemy in people's lives. Lord, that they would be free to be rooted and grounded on you. And Lord, I pray that as a church, as we move forward, God, that you will bind us together so strong. Lord God, that we would rejoice in our diversity, Lord, but be able to move forward in unity, knowing that you have called us for purpose, that we are your body. And Lord, I thank you that all that you possess is ours. All that you have given to us. And Lord, we say to you, all that we have, we give to you. Lord, we surrender to you, and we thank you that you give everything to us. And just as in a marriage service, at the end, the minister will often say, what God has joined together, let no man pull apart. Lord, we say to you today, we are joined together and we will not allow anything to pull us apart. Lord, we thank you that you are the glue. Your love is the glue that keeps us together strong. Lord, and I pray that we will grow in our relationships with one another, in our own stability on your word, into a strong body that fulfills all that you have for us in this town and in this area. We thank you, Lord. You have entrusted yourself, your mission to us, and we want to fulfill it. We want to see it happen. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have for us. Amen.